welcome. You're listening to Evolver Planet Radio. I'm your host, Jonah Bolt, and with us also is co-host Wendy Owens. Wendy. And today is Friday, October 21st, 2011. And as always, Evolver Planet Radio is brought to you in part by www.helixla.com, new interactive Flower of Life board game. Helix LA is a multifaceted game of discovery based on the ancient geometry known as the Flower of Life. The intention of this game is to create a parameter in which participants communicate their perspectives of topics played, thus creating a deeper understanding of oneself and others. Always the good sponsor and always a good way to get to know your friends, your community, and that's what this is about, Evolver Planet Radio. Thank you so much for tuning in. And we're going to have an awesome show tonight. We have guest Maya Lemberg and also an interview with Alex and Allison Gray that Wendy did last weekend. How was that interview, Wendy?
It was amazing. You know, it was awesome being with both of them, being with some of the most visionary artists in the world and their whole perspective of why they create the art that they do. It was an awesome event in Atlanta for Area 51 Presents, a weekend of audiovisual stimulation and amazing music.
Yeah, I wish I could have made it down, as you know, but at least you went and represented and got that awesome interview, which we're going to hear from Alex and Allison Gray later on the show. We're also going to hear from the music artist group Woven Tongues. Alberto is going to be joining us from that group. And also, we're going to get a Spore City update from Atlanta, Georgia, from Maya. And with that, we're going to first talk about, Wendy, first talk about how you first got into Evolver. Since this is our first show, our premiere show, talk about how you first got involved with Evolver.
Well, you know, my first experience with Evolver was going to an Atlanta event a couple of years ago, which Daniel Pinchbeck spoke at. He was at the iDrum in Atlanta. So, Maya, if you're listening, I'm sure you're familiar with the iDrum. It was an amazing event, lots of just super awesome people. Had a chance to talk to Daniel Pinchbeck. But, you know, briefly, Jonah, I believe that the meeting of Evolver and getting involved with Evolver Asheville, the former coordinator, Virginia Parrish, she decided that she no longer could do the group. She just had a lot of stuff going on. And I ended up taking over the group in Asheville, and we met after that. But the founders, Tony and Leanne Brown, the ones that started Evolver Asheville, they're really good friends with Daniel. And they started it in Marshall, North Carolina. So it was interesting because I ended up working with Tony and Leanne to book at their venue, the French Broad Institute, A Time in the River. So it was kind of, it was interesting because Virginia Paris and Tony and Leanne Brown never met each other. So it was interesting how this whole thing evolved. It went into a complete 360.
That's what's up.
That's how it happened.
Yep. As quickly as I jumped into Evolver, when I first met you and went to the first Evolver meeting, and, you know, I was one of the, I went as a guest speaker, but then ended up, you know, doing it with you, and it's an amazing network, and it's awesome to be part of. And with that, we are going to get our first guest on the show, Maya Lemberg. Maya has an awesome article which she wrote, which is on realitysandwich.com, and also evolver.net is another site. And Maya is also down in Atlanta, Georgia, so she is also one of the sport representatives down there. And Maya, thank you for joining us on the show.
Thank you so much for having me. What an honor. Definitely unexpected, and I've never done a radio show interview, so I'm a little nervous, I'll admit.
Welcome, Maya. Thanks.
Now, first, give us an update on what's going on with the Atlanta Spore Group. What are you guys doing? What are you into? What new projects you got going on?
Sure. So we're a little unique. We've been doing it for longer than any other Spore Group. We were the first ones. We've been at it for 3 years, and we kind of do our own thing. We take some suggestions from the Evolver regionals and do some of the topics that everyone else is doing, but we like to have fun and just we're pretty spontaneous with what we do on a month-to-month basis. So the last event we did was called Psychedelic Monologues, Visions of Our Community. Nice. And it was just an amazing event. It was in September. We invited about 4 speakers that were fairly well-known people in our community. And we have a really strong, tight-knit community in Atlanta. And they all gave just extremely different stories and takes on some kind of psychedelic experience. And we had an audience of people sitting around them and holding space. And afterwards, we had a little Q&A, but then we devised several questions, like about 4 questions that were like really juicy, prime topics in the area of psychedelics, and had people divide into groups of 4 and 5 and discuss these topics amongst themselves and then bring it back to the group. So it was a really intimate and personal night. People really got to know each other and explore in depth what we're doing here and what this is all about. So that was great. And then we've been doing this thing called Evolver Variety Hour every 3 months. We've done it once, and we're going to do it again shortly. And it's just a chance for our community to show their talents. We have so many amazingly talented people in our community, and they just want a forum to show their talents and skills. So we create one, and we don't plan anything. We just ask people to sign up for slots, and that's how it happens, and a lot of times it's totally spontaneous. Last time, not a whole lot of people signed up for slots, so it was just like, what can you bring to this present moment? And everyone's got something to bring, so it was a interesting event. Definitely do it again. So, and then Evolver Fest is a festival that we've been putting on for the last 3 years, and it happens every summer. And it's a big visionary culture festival. I don't really think there's anything else like it in Atlanta. It's mostly presentations, music, vendors, performance. Really, just a beautiful one-day event. I think that the website's still up, evolverfest.com. So that'll hopefully keep on going and takes up the majority of all of our time and effort. We get sponsors and all that. So that's kind of the main stuff right now.
Nice. Well, that seems like a lot of stuff you're doing to spread awareness.
Thank you.
Now, let me ask you, do you ever find that there's tremendous support in the Atlanta area? Because I know a lot of supporters in the area personally, including Aaron Clark, who helped me with the interview last week. I know that there were several people that I met in Atlanta last week. That are heavily involved with SPOR. They support the group. They were even passing out flyers. And so it seems like it's a real community there in Atlanta.
It really is. You know, it's been kind of a journey. When we started 3 years ago, people were really, really excited, and they were really craving it. And I think Evolver held this powerful role in the community of building bridges and connecting different fragmented parts of our community together, because it's not just devoted to any one topic. It's all-inclusive. And it was holding this really important role, and I feel like the events were a little more popular then. We had a lot higher numbers 2 and 3 years ago than we do now. Now we get less people showing up at our events, but it seems to be that we keep getting new people, which is good. So I like to think that what's been going on is we planted a big seed in the community, and since then the culture has really evolved, and now there's a lot more outlets for this kind of thing in our city, so people aren't necessarily as tied as they used to be to going to Evolver events to be able to satisfy that thirst for connection, which is great, you know? So,
awesome.
you guys have a community garden in Atlanta that was started by Evolver. Am I correct on that?
Yeah. We use this beautiful space called the Lake Clair Community Land Trust, and it's a community-owned space, and it's an intentional community. And people live there, and we aligned with the people in that community pretty quickly and about 3 years ago in what we were doing. And they offered us a good bit of space to learn how to garden, and there was about 15 of us doing it together and starting a garden and planting things and kind of learning some infrastructure in terms of community organizing and self-sustaining communities. So that was a really great place to start and learn from. And that's still our hub. We don't garden as much anymore because the land owners are constantly shifting and changing, and it's kind of difficult to have anything stable in terms of a garden there. But we use that space for festivals, for all of our meetings, for all of our events. So it's been wonderful to align with that community so tightly.
Excellent. And we're going to talk to you more a little later on the show. But right now we're going to get Alberto on the line from Woven Tongues, the band, which we're also in. We're going to talk to him for a bit. And just hang in there for a minute. We're going to listen to another minute or so of Woven Tongues while we get Alberto on the line. So enjoy some more music. What's another sample from Woven Tongues, and now joining us also on the show is Alberto. To give you a little background, Woven Tongues brings together elements of sacral ritual and theater to facilitate a communal event. By the use of multicultural traditions, movement, and poetry, all invited collaborate in the opening and presence of wonder, power, and delight. Alberto, welcome to the show.
Well, hello, Jonathan and Evolver Planet inhabitants. Great to be here, and much success in this venture. I think it'll be awesome, and it will have a lot of impact throughout the globe. So thank you for inviting me for this first channeling. Hey, how is everybody doing?
Absolutely. Well, first, tell us about Woven Tongues, Alberto. How did Woven Tongues form? How did you meet Maya?
It's a beautiful thing. One night, Maya had invited me to attend an Evolver Spore, and she wanted me to talk about shamanism. And I said, let's just do it. Let's just demonstrate it. Let's make it an applied practice. So I read from one of the Mayan creation stories around music, and, you know, because shamanism creates a horizon of meaning for people. And then Maya danced. And from there, I had the idea of creating a thing called a Mystic Cafe, which I highly recommend you do throughout the cities of the U.S. and elsewhere. It's really a beautiful communal event where you share music and poetry and dance, and you kind of activate the space. So that's how it came about, and we've been very successful with it.
Wow. And how long you guys been together now?
couple of years. We've been building, you know, momentum, and we keep exploring more and more avenues of self-expression and collective creativity. So far, luck is shining, and we keep instigating love. We did something last weekend with Alex Gray that was just amazing. You know, we really had a lot of success with that. So we hope to continue.
Oh, yeah, Alberto, I was there too. It was definitely an amazing event with Alex Gray. So awesome that you were there.
Yeah.
We're also going to have a
interview clip with the extra interview in a 2-part series happen tonight, and really cool stuff. So I hope both of you stick around for that, because that's going to be a cool event as well. And now you guys are based out of Atlanta, but you are originally, Alberto, from Costa Rica, and you are a member of the Nomadic Blood Machine. And basically, tell us a little bit about that.
Well, I am from Costa Rica, from the land of Pura Vida. So yes, and I'm a member of the Nomadic Love Machine. And what I mean by that is that there are many collectives and tribes throughout the U.S. and throughout the planet that are trying to maintain a higher frequency of manifestation. So, you know, we engage with the city, we engage with that world, but we're trying to bring another consciousness and another kind of awareness to what's showing up, so we can, you know, have definitely a more sustainable planet, and where we all can be, you know, relatively happy and content. So that's part of one of what we do.
Awesome. And where can you find like some of your music at? Do you guys have some stuff up online, Facebook?
Yeah, what we're going to do, I mean, there's some stuff at my site called Sonic Fables, and then we're going to put up a channel soon on YouTube, and we're working on music constantly. Our specialty, though, is creating, you know, performance rituals and art, so we'll be doing some of that, and we'll keep you posted. Just look us up on Facebook, and we'll take it from there. We'll start channeling from there, alerting folks.
Absolutely, and we'll also, of course, put you up on the artist section of the Evolver Planet Rip Radio website, and help you guys get some more gigs that way, because that's what this is about.
Man.
We're going to have different reps, so we want you, the artists, to really, you know, support the Evolver movement, and that's what this is about. This is about all about supporting us and supporting you, because it's time to spread that light and love big time.
Thank you so much for doing that, Jonathan, and I hope your show thrives and brings a lot of radiance and positive outcomes for a lot of people. Thank you for having us on.
Awesome. Well, thank you. It's Jonah, by the way, but it's all right. Everyone.
Oh, brother! Jonah. You go by Jonah. Okay. Jonah. Well, I like it. Jonah. Yeah.
Excellent. And
thank you.
When did you first get into like music yourself? When did you first get into even playing music? Was it from a young age? How did you get to, you know, where you're at musically today?
Yeah, it was in Costa Rica, actually. My father had a guitar and he used to sing, and I come from that kind of lineage, and I just started strumming it, and I've always had an interest in sound, and, you know, Costa Rica is it's beautiful. If you haven't been there, I highly recommend it, and they're just, I was saturated with, you know, all this life, and somehow that's just affected the way I make music, so I'm very much into, you know, multiple instruments and creating different colors, sounds, so, yeah, I was very early on, I picked up a guitar, and rattles and sticks and water, and, you know, so it's just part of my lineage for sure.
So and then you basically transmitted that into what you're doing today, which is that energy from your native homeland, your energy from the different tribes, from the Nomadic Love Machine, and you take that and spread it now musically through a band.
Yes, definitely so. I think, you know, since you have Alex and Allison, I mean, you know, visionary art is about a lot of things. It's not necessarily pictorial. I mean, it's also about holding certain spaces and certain moments in the collective. And so that's what we try to do. We try to bring a certain kind of awareness through music and dance and performance that activates awareness. So yeah, I've been putting all that together for a while now. I've traveled a lot, you know. I was down in the Amazon and working with some curanderos there, and a book came out of that called The Shaman and Ayahuasca, which is a really good book. I did, and I'm film, and I've gone to Bali a few times to study their sacred art. So you know, I have a very rich and beautiful experience working in those traditions. So I'm glad to bring it to wherever I show up. Yeah. I've been very fortunate, and I'm just trying to give what I have back, you know.
Alberto, I have a question for you. Do you do your own sound design? Do you go out and about and actually record things in real time and then perform them after you have the waveform, or do you play them in performance live? When you say you have water and you have different things, it's almost sounding like you possibly sample them.
No, actually I don't. I use water. I mean, I have water harps and coconuts, you know, filled with water and glasses. So I'm very much into bringing back the natural acoustics of sound, because I think that kind of vibration sets up another way of being embodied. So I'm very much into exploring acoustic instruments. I love synthetic, the possibilities of synthetic soundscapes, but there's nothing like, you know, wood or wind or water in the moment. So I try to use that as much as I can. So I have a large collection of percussive instruments and flutes that I bring to performances to activate that kind of sensibility.
So you use a lot of native instrumentation in a lot of organic forms of instrumentation.
I do that. You know, the artist is always blending the organic instrumentation with more electronic stuff. So it's an ongoing practice. So we're working more on that. And whenever there's a Mystic Cafe, when we do a Mystic Cafe, it's definitely all acoustic. So because that creates a different kind of setting and awareness and peace and. So a lot depends on the context, too. I mean, for the Alex Gray thing, we definitely went electronic. We went big because it was a big ritual. You know, we're trying to create more contemporary forms of ritual performance. So that one required, you know, electronics, and we blended electronics with acoustic instruments, and it was great. I mean, it was awesome.
Oh, yeah, it was really an amazing event with everyone in their performance. So much music going on at that event. David Morrison and his wife, Sugar Cane, did an amazing event, I have to say again. As far as performance with your electronic music, tell me a little bit more about that, because there's this real integration of using, like, native instrumentation, organic sound with beats and rhythm. And so tell me a little bit about that project.
I've been working on this for a long time. I have a band that I activated when I'm called Kinan, and that was one of the earliest experiments I had bringing acoustic instruments and electronic music. And we've been, you know, musicians have been exploring this fusion for a while, and you have different levels of success. I mean, for me, the combining, earth music with electronic music, it's a very provocative and challenging practice, because it depends what you're doing. I mean, you can do it to entertain and to make people feel at ease and soothe them and make something pretty, or you can do a blend of acoustic and electronic music to actually help people journey and go into deeper meditative states. And that's a fine art, and I think all of us musicians who play with that are constantly refining and exploring what are the possibilities. But definitely, you know, rocks and stones and flutes, all of that works. It's all about the context of application. So I think we're still learning. I think a return to more acoustic instruments is also a good idea, because I think the frequencies and the textures and timbres of those instruments tend to embody us in a different way. So I definitely suggest if you're a musician out there, go back to that and explore it a little bit more and find your own voice if you're going to apply with electronic stuff. But again, a lot depends on what the application's for. If you're doing it for meditation and transformation, then that's a different kind of project than just, blending stuff and making it seem pretty. They're very two different forms of application. So,
Well, yeah, there is a lot of vibrational healing going on with sound right now. I think that's why electronic music is resurfacing. Even Jonah and I have talked about this in the past, that, like, we didn't know it back in the day when we were club kids and we were dancing all night to the music, and we felt that vibration and that energy, but incorporating both worlds of organic, acoustic, and electronic is really powerful. I can't wait to hear more of your music. I'm definitely going to be listening to you, so I'm excited.
Thank you so much. Yeah, we're going to bring some great stuff out there. So we look forward to bringing it out to you. And thank you for that observation about the blend of electronic and acoustic. It's definitely a fine art, and we got to keep refining it for sure.
Sure.
And thank you.
I lost you guys for a little bit. But I was wondering if, Alberto, you had a chance to share about what a Mystic Cafe is.
Very briefly, but let me give you a 1 minute description, because I think we should try this in other cities besides Atlanta. Basically, a Mystic Cafe is a communal event, and it's very simple to organize. Get a few musicians who play acoustic instruments, get some beautiful dancers who will recite poetry while they are dancing, and then create an oracle space. An oracle space is where you invite members of the community to dance or share their poetry, and then go back to doing poetry, sacred poetry. We use Hafiz a lot, and then create another oracle space where the community comes in again, and then play some more. And at the end of the evening, you have this very high vibrational effect going on. So it's a very elevated form of community and ritual participation in upper registers, the sacred, let's call it for now.
And that's something that I feel that Evolver can really get involved in, because, we all have such incredible musical talents in all of our cities, so we create music, song, dance, and ritual using poetry, and then we create this sonic space for members of our community to share their gifts, and that could be any kind of creative expression, so it could be a song, a dance, poetry, spoken word, whatever, and it's really interactive, and the whole community gets really excited. They spend time preparing what they're going to share in the Oracle space. It's been really popular and really a beautiful experience, because it's not just an audience and performer kind of dynamic. Everyone's the performer and everyone's the audience, and I find that really beautiful. That's something that Alberto introduced to Woven Tongues, and I just love that.
Well said, Majita. Well said. Yeah, I highly recommend it, folks. Do it.
Thank you so much, guys.
And also, Maya, you're also the director for Evolver of the Intensives, correct? Tell us about that.
Yeah, Evolver Intensives. I'm the marketing director for Evolver Intensives, and that is an awesome initiative that Evolver created about a year ago. And it is all about spreading awareness through education. And we offer these fantastic online, live, interactive courses. And usually it's like 5 or 6 sessions with all sorts of really inspirational, pioneering speakers, authors, writers, just personas. And people sign up for these courses, and they're able to be in cyberspace one-on-one with all the other people that are signed up. So, for instance, right now is the Jeremy Narby course, Awakening the Cosmic Serpent. And he interviews different people. He talks about really riveting topics. Right now they're talking about ayahuasca, and you could actually go live and ask them questions and interact with these speakers. And it's, you know, it's a real cool environment. You feel like you're in a classroom, but you're in your own house, and you learn a lot. You get a lot of connection, and they're always different. You know, we have Ram Dass coming up in a little while, and Star Hawk was a little while ago. I think we had Dennis McKenna a few months ago too. So it's a lot of really cool information coming out on a consistent basis. We do two or three new ones a month. So that's evolverintensives.com.
That's awesome. Good stuff. Yeah. And with that, you also are doing the article posting and stuff involved with Reality Sandwich, and one of your articles is Journeys with the Goddess. Tell us a little bit about that article you wrote for Reality Sandwich.
Yeah, that article is basically a story about the transformation of my life through the use of ayahuasca. And it was really difficult for me to write. It took a long time because it's really difficult to explain that kind of experience. But it's all actually related to Evolver. I got involved in Reality Sandwich about 3 years ago. My friend Adam Ellenboss, who is a Reality Sandwich author and a book author, introduced me to Reality Sandwich and Daniel Pinchbeck, and I got involved doing marketing with them. And we decided with a few other people in the local area to forge together and create something called Reality Sandwich Atlanta, where we wanted to start making events happen in our local area. And it started happening, and it started getting really, really popular. And then Evolver came into creation, and all these other explorers and all these other regional cities started popping up everywhere, and we were kind of the flagship city that people were looking to for advice. And through us creating these events, we were exposed to just an incredible amount of new community members. And in this community, I met just a lot of kindred spirits. I met a woman who is now my teacher, my spiritual teacher. She's a medicine woman, and this woman really helped me through a lot of incredible shifts in my life and introduced me to working with ayahuasca and this whole other community that's around. And also introduced me to working with goddess spirituality and what that means, which is a big part of my life right now, and embodying the goddess personally and seeing that and as an underlying theme of the planetary transformational process and everything that people are going through is kind of a return to the goddess.
Yeah, there's a lot of shifting and bending going on, and I think a lot of us that are of the goddess energy and a lot of us females are especially experiencing that. I've been talking to a lot of women that are feeling this energy shift, so I'm with you, sister, there.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, and,
that was all two and a half years ago, and it was just all at once. I started working with Evolver. I met my spiritual teacher. I started making enormous shifts in my life. I started drinking ayahuasca, and I mean, after that, life really started to click and connect, and things became a lot more synchronous, and it started taking on this really profound vision that I had never quite seen before for my life. And now I'm here on the radio with you.
So do you find that you have much more synchronicities happening and an intuitive ability? You're really in tune now because you journeyed deep within?
Yeah, absolutely. I feel like my whole life is this one connected dance. it's not fragmented anymore like it used to be, where before I have my family life and my work life and this part, and it was all fragmented, where now everything's this beautiful fusion, and one thing seamlessly leads to the next, and it's connected with all of these synchronicities, and it just tells me that I'm exactly where I need to be, and I'm on the right path.
Awesome.
There you go. In the flow with life. And
we're
going to have to cut the interview now. We're going to do the Alex Gray interview coming up next. So I want to thank you both for coming on the show. It was awesome. And we'll definitely
thank
put you guys
Jonah.
On the site. Keep us updated.
Thank you.
Thank you so much. Sure. Oh, and can I make one more plug?
Yeah, sure.
Absolutely.
Evolver Atlanta is graciously inviting new organizers who are passionate about organizing events and building communities. So if you are interested and in the Atlanta area, please contact us on the Evolver Atlanta Facebook page or on evolver.net, and we would love to meet you.
Awesome. I think I'm going to be heading there and spending a day with you, Maya, maybe getting Jonah to go with, because we're really trying to build a strong Evolver community in Asheville and as well in the beginning of upstate South Carolina. So maybe you can take the journey here as well.
Oh, I love Asheville. I would love to. Absolutely.
Oh, yeah.
Awesome. Well, thank you both for having us, and we're going to start the Alex Gray interview and Allison Gray interview with 1D last weekend, but first we're going to listen to a little bit more of Woven Tongues music.
Show that Jonah Bolt and I will be doing. Jonah Bolt is not present. He's holding it down at home, getting ready for the Zen 1111 festival. But this is for Evolver Planet Radio, and it's time to evolve. And I'm joined by some Evolvers right now. I'm very pleased to be interviewing you guys because y'all are such an inspiration. And being visionary artists and everything, and the shift and everything that's happening with this energy and how the energy connects to your work. So that's some of the questions that I really would like to ask you guys personally, is being visionary artist and doing intuitive painting, what is your inspiration lately? Do you find that there's a synchronicity happening with Becky that is working in conjunction with any new energy that's coming in as far as planetary energies?
Well, I think that the arts are always on the creative edge of evolution. That's kind of what defines the arts. The creative mind is ever seeking a new way for the message to come out, and there's always dawning a new vision of what it is to be human. So now in the technologically interconnected worlds, we have the means to understand that everyone is potentially connected technologically, and we know that biologically we're all connected, we're all evolved here on the Earth. And I like to think of the this kind of constantly changing zeitgeist as being the guide that most artists are plugged into. And, you know, we're surfing rather powerful wave at this point, with the weather shifts happening, the all the various economic crises and the world and social dilemmas that are bursting at the seams. It appears that one element of civilization is breaking down, and or that many are. And I like to think of Arnold Toynbee, who was a student of civilization, and after studying 27 different rise and fall of different civilizations over the millennia, he determined that civilizations exist to give birth to better religions. That was his idea. And that the religion, or the kind of mystic understanding of things, is at the center of a civilization. And as long as they keep that core vital, then they hold together. But when they lose that center, then they begin to fragment. And so that's what's happening now, and the fragmentation. But what's being born is this kind of planetary civilization that people are envisioning because of this interconnectedness. It's going beyond the nation-state model of identity, and now there is an identity that people have that is with like-minded communities, like the evolver spores all over the world. And these are pockets of evolving consciousness. And this is the way that we're going to imagine a sustainable future, where we can have a planetary civilization and we can do awesome creative things together. So I think that there's an entire kind of celestial hierarchy of, I like to think of them as angels, that are working with creative people to help us imagine this dawning reality.
Yeah. Definitely true. Aran, we were talking about families. We were bringing up families and the interconnectivity.
Yes, I've heard you speak on both family as the very close family unit, and also touch on the larger family or community that is developing around the world. And I'm just well curious. I know that in forming these communities with direct experience is definitely something that seems to be at the heart of this planetary consciousness. And I'm wondering in what ways do you connect with that angelic realm to inform and inspire the communities and family around us?
Well, there, of course, there's so many different means of entering into the relationship with the spiritual. Meditation is the royal road, and there are people, of course, who spontaneously kind of receive messages from the other side, and sometimes just to, if you wake up early enough and and you're not too concerned about getting to work or something like that when you're meditating and things. But most people are permeable to a deeper, higher wisdom that is at somewhere in the serene part of their witnessing awareness. You know, so often that the yogi will say that your mind is like a jar of water with dirt in it, you know, and that most of the time we're going around like this, you know, and it's pretty hard to have a clear mind, you know, that way. But if you sit for a while, you know, and let it all settle down, you know, then it becomes clear. So so with some sense of contemplative repose, and whether you are tapped into a specific lineage or not, you know, there are so many wonderful meditative methods. We were fond of the Tibetan Buddhist visualizations and things and study for many years, the Vajrayana. But the practices that unite many of the love tribe are the entheogens, and so now there's so many of those as well, you know, and different little sub-tribes build up around different little, we're the DMT, you know, well, we're ayahuasca, you know, well, you know, and so even with the same basic entheogen, taking it in a different way means a different tribe and a different sort of subgroup. I'm going to be talking about it tonight in a show called Entheogeneration, which goes, you know, from the way back to the cradle of Eastern and Western civilization, where the roots are entheogenic. You know, absolutely. The Rig Veda, at the foundations of Eastern civilization, the first kind of written holy book talks about soma, you know, clearly an entheogen, something that you take to commune with the gods. And same thing then with at Western civilization, the Kaikeion, you know. So the Eleusinian mystery religion was one of the longest standing religions, and it was clearly a psychedelic religion as well. So we're reclaiming a kind of hidden tradition in Western and Eastern civilization, and that will help us recover and restore the mystic center that is missing at this point.
Now, I've heard particularly in maybe the Eleusinian, it was a prerequisite to citizenship to take the experience for once in your life. And there's also the connotation with the pharmakon as the scapegoat there's a little bit of like mistrust of the people that may have had these visions, I guess, as part of the inherent, also with Socrates possibly being...
Absolutely. Well, they all did. You know, Plato and Aristotle, they all had gone through the Eleusinian mysteries. So Plato and Socrates was clearly someone who had seen beyond, and he spoke of these the ideal forms and things as being what precedes the material world. And so as this kind of foundation of idealism, or what came to be called Platonism, or, you know, Neoplatonism and stuff, because Plato wrote down everything, I think that these are still very sturdy philosophical frameworks for an entheogenic culture. And so the Neoplatonic ideals, you know, goodness, truth, beauty, these are the sort of foundational values. And the more that the entheogenic tribes integrate the mystic sort of wisdom, from all the different traditions, I think that they'll be in much better shape to integrate the visions that are coming in. And we're at a unique time, you know, to access all of that information. So I think that this bodes well for the family of choice that people are connecting on the internet or through other means. And this is the new community, you know, it's a world community.
I'd like to say something about family in relationship to planetary civilization, and that is that the family is the first community that we experience. And a lot of the way we act in the world, and especially in community, is related to what we learned in the family setting, you know, as we were growing up. How did people act towards each other? Did they just badger and tease each other and beat each other up, you know? And then, you know, then you carry that into your life and in your classroom, which is a community, and into your, you know, your job life, which is a community. So you carry all of what you've learned there. So, and of course, the... You know, the community of one is, you know, like how we are about ourselves. And being, we talk a lot about a peaceful planetary civilization, a civilization where people learn to get along so they can make something beautiful together. Like, if we, to be peaceful in ourselves, we have to give up the story that something's wrong. That is the way to be peaceful inside of yourself. In your family, if you give up the story that something's wrong, then everything is all right, and everybody is all right, and the way they are in their strange ways are all right. So then you're in the larger community, and here we are where people have gotten together in this tribal family of Atlanta, where they're working on a great project, and we've been part of it this weekend and traveling from... But there takes a lot of people, a lot of committees, a lot of minds, a lot of expertise to put together something as big as this. And when people don't get along, it breaks down, and it makes it an obstacle that you have to get over before you can make something beautiful together. So it's just keeping that in mind, that wherever there's conflict, the sooner the resolution, the sooner you get on with making something beautiful together. Conflict is always a block to making something beautiful together, and that's what we are practicing in our families, in ourselves, and then in our families, and then in our communities and in our projects that we work with other people.
I have a question about collective connectivity and connecting beings all across the world, connecting with each other with vibration and sound and color and movement. It's a very exciting time because we do have technology and we have an infinite resource of our imagination, and bringing all that together, you guys host a lot of events in your home and at COSM that you bring all that energy together. And there's healing that goes on with that. You've had people that have had experience of healing, deep healing. And so what are some stories that you've heard from people about their experiences with healing with all that energy, with art and color and sound and vibration and movement?
Well, most often it's people will come to COSM and they may take a course or they may come to the full moon celebrations or any of the equinox solstice celebrations. And there's first of all, the land's magical,
yeah.
You know, so you get there and you just feel something from, it's already charged, it's holy ground. And has been, you know, for 50 years. It was in belonged to the United Church of Christ and things. And before that, you know, there have been many wonderful events, progressive and beautiful events happening on that land. So it's charged. So there's that, and people bring maybe a kind of a negative charge. Maybe they have from they're leaving the city and maybe some of their troubles and things like that. And so they're going there to get recharged and to have a creative inspiration, maybe breakthrough. And so for many people, that happens. And
mm-hmm.
and I won't say that it's just because of COSM. You know,
yeah.
People are bringing that. That is what they want, is this kind of breakthrough experience. And so we've been fortunate to host many people who feel that it's been a very catalytic thing for their own creative lives. I came to COSM and I haven't stopped painting since. And now I just had to move everything out of this room, and now it's become a studio. And so things change in people's lives. They get turned on to their own creative process. And everybody's is different. You know, so it hits people at different times in different ways. And so we're just excited to see it ignite, you know, we have our work crew there are all artists as well. So each, you know, there are bands,
dancers,
all kinds of stuff.
I wanted to say something about healing, and Dr. Andrew Weil studied people who were spontaneously healed when they weren't supposed to. Like, their x-rays said that they would be dead within blah, 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 but they survived and it healed in remission, and nobody could, miracles, basically. And he studied people like this and all kinds of cures that were alternative, that people said, you know, thus and so, you know, really, really helped me. Things that were not studied, that were not proven by science, but that people anecdotally were sending him that information. And he found, his theory is that people that heal spontaneously and miraculously saw their infirmity, saw their accident, saw their illness as a gift. That somehow they saw it gifting them, and they saw what they were getting out of it, how they created it, which is basically, I think, how they created it, and then how it changed them. They go through a transformation, so that on the other side, they are really a different person, and they've had a realization, and this is a gift. And I think Alex and I had a terrible accident about a year and a half ago. I really do think it was two things that healed us. Prayer from around the world, because we were just talking to friends yesterday who were in Egypt praying for us. We didn't even know this. When we were at an accident, they were in Egypt. And so they had like a whole circle at the Horus temple. I mean, there were people everywhere that were sending us prayers. And we were, you know, we pray for everyone every full moon. And so I think prayer and also looking for the gift. You know, you see, what am I supposed to learn from this? You know, even if you're, you know, impaired. I mean, there may be something that you're meant to learn. So that's a way to heal.
And the other element, I think, what happens to some people, they come to COSM and they may be having a mystical experience for the first time.
Mm-hmm.
And a mystical experience, one where you kind of dissolve your sort of boundaries into the oneness or the unity consciousness with others and with the world and things. And so that's the most ultimately healing experience that a person can have. And we want nothing more than to support a very positive kind of mystical experience for people. Because that heals the rift between you and the world, basically. You know, life is okay. Death is okay. Because, you know, everything's infinite, and you're part of the one. And so it resolves a lot of existential dilemmas, in a way, a successful mystical experience. So that would be what we would, the ultimate that we would hope for, is that people might have an experience like that. But there are all kinds of healing events that take place.
I heard the property is very magical. I hope to visit it soon, but also that there's grids and there's an energy grid there that is an intense.
And there you have it, the first part of the two-part series, the Alex Gray with Wendy. Wendy, awesome interview. Good work. That was awesome, taken by Wendy last weekend at the Alex Gray event. We're going to play the second part to that next week, so make sure to log on to Evolver Planet Radio. We have some awesome news articles and also some links to websites and things like that on there for you. Any finishing thoughts, Wendy?
Actually, I just wanted to remind everyone that you can link up to Evolver by going to evolver.net. And also, don't forget to check out realitysandwich.com. And thank you so much, everybody, for listening. Blessings and safe journey.
HelixLA.com. That's HELIX. NewInteractiveFlowerOfLife.com. That's the New Interactive Flower of Life board game. I played it myself just yesterday, and it is awesome. We're definitely going to have it at our next Sport Evolver meeting here in Nashville. And I recommend this game for every Evolver group. It's an amazing way to interact with everyone, get to know people, and you really got to check this out. The Helix LA is a multifaceted game of discovery based on the ancient geometry known as the Flower of Life. The intention of this game is to create a parameter in which participants communicate their perspectives of topics played, thus creating a deeper understanding of oneself and others. Awesome game. Check out www.helixileh.com. That's helixileh.com. With that, Evolver World, Evolver Planet, thank you so much for joining us. Sending you light and love, and thank Woven Tongues, everyone else for coming on the show, Maya. And we will see you all next week.